From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11. The message focuses on Abraham and is entitled A Pilgrim's Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called One a Majority. The text is Joshua 23 and verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Why count heads? One man with God is a majority, though there be 1,000 on the other side. Sometimes our helpers may be too many for God to work with them, as was the case with Gideon, who could do nothing till he had increased his forces by thinning out their numbers. But the Lord's hosts are never too few. When God would found a nation, he called Abram alone and blessed him. When he would vanquish proud Pharaoh, he used no armies, but only Moses and Aaron. The one-man ministry, as certain wise men call it, has been far more used of the Lord than trained bands with their officers. Did all the Israelites together slay so many as Samson alone? Saul and his hosts slew their thousands, but David his 10,000s. The Lord can give the enemy long odds and yet vanquish him. If we have faith, we have God with us. And what are multitudes of men? One shepherd's dog can drive before him a great flock of sheep. If the Lord sent thee, O my brother, his strength will accomplish his divine purpose. Wherefore, rely on the promise and be very courageous.
Soldiers on the cross, now the trumpets call away. Soldiers of the heavenly King, who faithful stand through every day, sound forth and let your praises ring to Christ the Lord of all. The glory of thy God proclaim, give honor to his matchless name. The one who e'er remains the same and stands though nations fall. Plant thy soul's foundation upon the rock of ages, and trod, press on to higher ground, and be not thou discouraged, though Satan's hosts assail. Against you God hath said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. So just fix the mighty throng, hold fast and gird your armor on, for soon you'll
shout the victor's song. Your foe's defeat is sure. Be faithful to thy captain's call. Go forth in praise to conquer all. For soon creation tossed will fall and crown him Lord of lords. Fix your eyes on Jesus. His promise faileth never. We'll praise his name forever in heaven's bright array. Soldiers of the cross, now the trumpet call,
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. In this message called A Pilgrim's Faith, Dr. Cairns is highlighting the characteristics of a man who had been called out of a heathen land to go to a place which he previously did not know, based purely on his faith in the God who had revealed himself to him. We've seen the willingness of Abraham's faith, a picture of that effectual call which awakens a dead sinner and brings him to faith in Christ. As Abraham illustrates, this call is a sovereign call. It is gracious, for it's extended to undeserving sinners. It is an honest call, for God did not hide the cost of obedience from Abraham. Salvation is free, but there is a cost if one is truly to follow Christ. As we'll see today, the walk of faith involves more than mere words. First of all, there must be a coming to Christ in true repentance. Now, with the next portion of this message called A Pilgrim's Faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
Until you see your sin, you'll certainly not receive the invitation to become a saint. Until you see your sin, there is no call. It's a very strong statement, but I mean it. There is no call from God to you until you see your sin. That's why there's so much wrong with much of modern evangelism. You have people in the great ecumenical crusades coming forth for they know not what. Now that is not to say that there is no gospel preached. But what it is to say is that all too often there is no making man understand their sin. The gospel that is so often proclaimed nowadays is what you could call the problem-solving gospel, and nothing more. If you need a new dimension to your life, if you need real uplift in your life, if you need the reality of which, say, drugs and drink and worldly pleasure are only the counterfeit, then come to Christ. If you have home problems, wife problems, husband problems, children problems, business problems, mental problems, emotional problems, then come to Christ. Now there's a lot of truth in that. The Lord Jesus Christ does heal the heart. He does heal the mind. He does heal the home. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost a gospel that says that he heals the problem of sin. He deals with the estrangement of a sinner from his God. He puts away the wrath of God. He puts away the guilt of sin. He delivers the soul from hell. He delivers it from the very realm and thraldom and dominion and regency of sin. That's the emphasis of the gospel. And until a man is brought to feel his sin, he is not called to salvation. But what a word for sinners. If you sit in this church service this morning with a heart that's convicted, I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Were God to deal with me as I deserve, I must perish in the flames of his wrath forevermore. I'm a sinner, foul and unclean. And I find no excuse that I haven't done what other people have done. Or I'm convicted that I am bad enough to go to hell. And I have done enough to estrange myself from God. Then, my friend, it is to such as you that Jesus Christ in sovereign grace gives his call, a call upon which you can with confidence act, a call which you can confidently obey, because he came to call sinners to repentance. It was an honest call. Very interesting that when the Lord called to Abraham, he set before him, yes, his promise, But he set it forth in dark terms. He said, Abraham, you're going to get out there, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You don't know what's down the road. And finally, when he got a bit down the road, the Lord just led him step by step, and he kept him from at that very moment entering in to, I have no doubt, what he thought he would enter into, the fullness of the possession. In other words, the Lord dealt very honestly with Abraham. He presented the cost of obedience in the plainest of terms. The Lord Jesus made it clear that if you're going to sit down and build a house, you'd be better to count the cost first. If you're going to go out to war, you'd be better to count the cost first. It's a foolish thing to start to build and not be able to finish. It's a foolish thing to go out to war with an inferior army and find that you're beaten on the field of battle. Better first to find the cost. Now, you're not saved by paying a price. Let's get that. You're saved because of the price that Christ paid, and no other price is necessary to save us. But nonetheless, there is, in human terms, a cost to Christian discipleship. It is a cross that saves us, the cross of Christ. But that cross brings us into fellowship. It is a fellowship of suffering. It is a fellowship of self-denial. It is a fellowship of death to the flesh. There can be no life in Christ unless there is death to the flesh. And the Lord makes this plain and clear. The Bible knows nothing of this notion that has so gripped men, who even use the very idea of the free grace of God to cloak it. It knows nothing of this idea that you just come and get saved and then make up your mind afterwards if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. Nothing of that in the Bible. God's call is honest. How can you be a Christian if you don't come after Christ? You can't. If you come after Christ, you be aware the devil's going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the devil's brigades are going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the world will not be your friend. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, friendship with God is enmity with the world. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. The Lord Jesus Christ makes these things very plain to us. It's an honest call. He doesn't come with blandishments. He doesn't come with some over-painted picture of how easy it will be to be a Christian. He doesn't promise that life is going to be a bed of roses, but what he does promise, and thank God, in the call, there's not only a command, but there is a promise. What he does promise is, I'll deal with your sin. I'll be your God. You'll be my child. I'll be your master. You'll be my servant. I'll be your leader, and I'll lead you all the way to glory. The Lord Jesus does give a promise that he will bless us and he will curse anyone who curses us. For let me tell you what he promised Abraham is ultimately true spiritually of every Christian. If you have the blessing of God, you don't need to worry about the curse of the devil. If you have the blessing of God in your life, you don't need to worry about what the world thinks or what the world says. If you can put your head on your pillow and say, it's well with my soul, my sins are under the blood, my name's in the Lamb's book of life, God is my Father, Christ is my Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is my Comforter, heaven is my home country. My heart is renewed, redeemed, set free, and on its way home to glory. Man, if that's your testimony, why on earth would you have cause to worry that the world doesn't like you? Why would you worry? Even indeed that there's hardship, difficulty, problem, because every one of these is but another opportunity for your God to prove his worth and his victory, his power, his love and his care, and he will not fail. And anything that he allows his people to endure is but to make them more that polished shaft in his hand. It's but to cut away the rough edges of the flesh. It is but to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. Now that's his call. Now then, with this command to leave your country, that command, of course, is still part of the gospel call. There's no coming to Christ without coming away from something else. The command is to leave, and the promise is, I'll receive you, and I'll bless you, and I'll lead you, and I'll guide you, and I'll bring you to the promised land. Now, what does faith do? Here's the willingness of faith. Faith subjects our will to the revealed will of God. People wonder, do I have faith? An awful lot of people are wondering, well, do I have enough faith? That's one of the devil's masterpieces. Do I have enough faith to save me? How much faith does it take to save the soul? Or, to put it better, to receive God's salvation? How much faith does it take? Do you ever notice that the Bible never once addresses that question? Never once. It is not the amount of faith. It is the existence of faith that the Bible is emphasizing. Now then, have I enough faith? If you've faith, you've got enough faith. Have I true faith? Man, that's another big question people ask. Have I true faith? Now I understand the honesty of such an inquiry. The old Puritan theologians talked about what I have termed before historical faith, or sometimes they called it dogmatic faith. That is a belief in the doctrines of the Bible. But that doesn't save you. You can believe every doctrine in the Bible and perish. The devil believes those doctrines. He knows they're true. Doesn't save him. The Pharisees believed them. Didn't save them either. It wasn't the doctrine in the book that Saul of Tarsus hadn't believed already, long before he was saved. Historical or dogmatic faith doesn't save. Then there's what the old Puritans used to call temporary faith. As such a belief as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in his parable of the seed falling into the four kinds of ground. There were some that sprung up forthwith, but had no root. Temporary faith. The trouble with those descriptions is, you see, that they're not speaking of faith at all. They're speaking of things that people may want to call faith, or may persuade themselves for a while to be faith, but they're not faith at all. Belief in the doctrines of the Bible is not faith. Intellectual assent is not faith. An emotional response to the gospel in itself is not faith. What is faith then? See it clearly in the case of Abraham. Yes, there will be an intellectual assent. Yes, there will be an emotional response, but the essence of faith is this, that it subjects our will to the revealed will of God. Where your heart and your will are brought to the place of acknowledging God's will in salvation and giving up everything else but God's will in salvation. Where your heart and your will are brought to the place of embracing God's will and saying, Lord, I receive simply and honestly your revealed will for my life and my salvation in Jesus Christ, then you have faith. It's as simple as that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.